Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Izacetep's conference call to present results for the first quarter 2018. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in listen-only mode. Ensuing this, there will be a question and answer session when further instructions will be given for you to participate. Should any participant require assistance during the call, please press star zero. The audio and the slideshow can be found at the website www.izacetep.com.br/ri. At this address, you will also find the presentation that you can accompany and download. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that forward-looking statements made during this event are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Izacetep's management and are information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that the general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could affect the future results of Izacetep and cause results that differ materially from those expressed in such statements. Today, we have Mr. Reynaldo Pazanesi, CEO, Rinaldo Pecchio, the CFO and IRO, and Carlos Ribeiro, the Technical Director. With this, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Reynaldo Pazanesi, who will begin the presentation. You may proceed, sir.
Hey, good morning to all of you. Once again, thank you for participating in our results conference call. This is a reason of great satisfaction to present this conference call to be able to share with you the evolution of our results, our strategy. Once again, we are able to show you very convincing results. As a message, before I give the floor to Rinaldo Pecchio, who will speak in greater detail, is the confidence that we have in delivering our results. We have a growth in revenues, a growth in EBITDA, a growth in net revenues, the beginning of the receivables from the RBSE concession, and all of this always focused on our management pillars in terms of operation and maintenance. We always attempt to show the utmost of efficiency, especially with the growth of operational expenses growing somewhat below inflation, preserving the quality, the safety, and with a great deal of pride, we can say that we have a positive operating margin when it comes to operations and maintenance. One of our great focuses at present is to avoid the growth of the varied parcel. Therefore, we have deployed all possible efforts to guarantee a minimum of availability for our equipment. By guaranteeing the availability of the equipment, by guaranteeing discipline, and through a stringent cost control, we can preserve our positive margin in operations and maintenance. Now, when you look at projects or in auctions, you will be able to observe that we have had a rigorous discipline in terms of capital. We have been able to fully comply with our goals and revenues through enhancements, always improving the reliability of the system and guaranteeing appropriate profitability. In this quarter, more concretely, we are going to observe a result perhaps of less revenues during the first quarter because this is the beginning of the year and our goal is of approximately 250 million of reinforcements for enhancements during the year, and this continues on through our revenues. You can see that
Our revenues in reinforcements and enhancements represent a significant part of the revenues of the parent company, Isacetepi. In terms of growth as well, our auctions have proceeded in a very satisfactory way. And as we say in-house, this is what we use as guidance. And as we also mentioned, we have been able to anticipate and reduce the CapEx, which is the case with ANEEL, the electricity agency we have held within our financial schedule. And we can already mention that this year already, four of our auctions will begin the works. This is a demonstration that we have proceeded very diligently when it comes, of course, to assets. And this year, it is very possible that four of the lots that we were awarded will begin their works. The larger lots evidently have the forecast of only beginning in 2019, once again, as part of our schedule. Another topic that also is a focus of ours is a value that refers to the regulation of public services in the transmission of power. And in this field as well, we have news that we deem to be very positive. The first refers to the substitute of House Representative Carlos Aleluya that set forth a proposal that, in our understanding, is better than the one that had been set forth for the solution of the judicial topic pending for RBSE and for the reception in the original term of the order, which is an eight-year term. We have already commented on the difficulties of adhering to the previous proposal through this new proposal. Therefore, we look more calmly upon this and consider that this will be a satisfactory solution in terms of the RBSE concession, would enable us to continue receiving the financial reimbursements during an eight-year term and present a revenue of two-thirds. That would be what would be missing once this law has been approved and this proposal goes forward. Another news that for which we have seen positive discussions for in the regulation is the positive tariff review. We will maintain our operation and maintenance revenues and the regulatory base for this. And the decision is to postpone this review for the year 2019. And this will be very positive as it will enable us a longer period to discuss all of these topics, the methodology that tends to be quite complex. And we have the possibility of working with the weighted average of cost of capital as well. Therefore, these are two of the issues in regulation that, in our understanding, are underway and will allow for a greater dialogue with the granting powers and will enable us greater comfort to continue on our growth path. In the legal area, we also have a favorable decision in our understanding. We were excluded from the Electrobras Electropaulo lawsuit. And for the signature of this covenant, we once again requested the exclusion of Isacetepi. This agreement, of course, is possible, but with the exclusion of Isacetepi, the judge enabled us to win this lawsuit. There are appeals, of course, but the good news is that based on the present day situation, we stand excluded from any responsibility regarding the credits that Electrobras was charging from Electropaulo and ISACETEP. These are the highlights that I wanted to mention. We're very optimistic with the coming auction, and we hope to continue to only bring you good news, positive results, financial results, results in operation and maintenance. We're eliminating penalties and fines due to downtime. We would like to participate in profitable auctions and, of course, move forward when it comes to the more relevant solutions in terms of regulation, the periodic tariff review or the RBSE concession. As you can see, we're now getting ready for the auction that will be held in June and that will once again comply with our focus of continuing to grow by generating value for the shareholders. These are my initial comments. I would now like to give the floor to Rinaldo Pecchio, who will speak about the results of the first quarter in greater detail. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Rinaldo. Let's start with our presentation. We're going to talk about the highlights for 2018, first quarter. Some of them, you've heard the comments. But here, we put them in an organized manner, according to our management pillars. So let's start with slide 3. We have a strong operational cash generation due to the RBSC receivables. We also had a regulatory result with a net revenue of 684 margin, says 732 million, with an EBITDA of 684 and 93% margin. The net income was 305 million. Investment of 18 million according to planned. Sustainable growth also, aiming at appropriate profitability levels according to our plans. For operational subsidiaries, we had an income of 19 million, a 10% increase compared with the first quarter of 17, and the capex in the first quarter was 6 million reals. The regulatory issues, some of the points were already mentioned, but here I mention again the RBSC payment with remuneration of financial asset to cost of capital in 8 years. This is something that we see in a positive light, and the periodic tariff reset for O&M, WAC, and RAB, with the possibility to postpone to 2019 with retroactive effects. In the legal sphere, the evolution of the main cases with favorable decisions in the first quarter, ISACETEP was excluded from the Electropaulo case in the approval of the deal between the two companies. This is another highlight that should be mentioned today. In respect to growth, the execution of 8 new projects in line with our schedule, and the works are now started at a very fast pace in 2018. And the capex was 72 million for these new subsidiaries. Now moving on to the next slide, slide number 4. Here we have the growth in our net revenue, basically due to the RBSC receivables, where we had 444 million recognized in other results, the growth of 77,774,000, it went from 268 to 732. This was the main variation that we had, and an increase of 26% in new investments compared with the first quarter of 17, with 59 million versus 47 million in the first quarter of 17. The next slide. Slide number 5, here we have the O&M costs and the general expenses of the company. We had a reduction of 5%, mostly due to the tax compensation that we had for one of the cities where we have concessions. So this, we had this compensation. This is a non-recurrent item, but it contributed with approximately 11 million reals because of this reversion that we had. Besides this factor, we had a small growth of 4% compared with the 2.7. And here we have another non-recurrent item, which is the cost related with personnel, which is usually capitalized based on some project analysis. So part of these areas were focused on looking at some of our projects, and that is why how we could decrease costs. It doesn't really mean that more cash is coming out of the company. It's the same value, but instead of it being capitalized, it's being thrown into the results. And that we're talking about more or less 1 million reals comparing the first quarter of 18 with the first quarter of 17. Slide number 6 shows the variation of our equity income. So there was an improvement in IE Madeira because of the IPCA variation in the 17-18 cycle and also some variation in the expenses. On the other hand, we already applied the tax review in IE Garanhuns. So for the 17-22 cycle, it was establishing 4.62, which is lower than the 6.61 of the previous cycle. And the expenses that we have in Paraguaçu, Aimorés, and ERB1 refer to the administrative expenses of current projects. Slide number 7 shows our consolidated EBITDA for regulatory. So here we try to explain the adjusted EBITDA with and without the RBSC receivables. And here you can see the evolution and the calculation of the EBITDA according to instruction 527. So it's 543.2 versus 165.4 in the first quarter of 17. And this growth is basically due to the RBSC receivables, which are now recognized. Then we adjust to show what would be the potential EBITDA of the company, considering not only the totally controlled companies, but also the partially controlled companies. So here we consider the adjusted participation of the company. That would lead us to 684 million versus 217 in the previous year. And excluding the RBSC, the adjusted EBITDA would be 235.6 versus 217.4 in the first quarter of 17, with a margin of 83%. Now, slide number 8 shows the financial results, consolidated financial results. So in expenses, there was an increase of 21%, so we went from 29 to 35 million. So here, basically, the situation is the increase in the level of debt, considering that we used to have 1.3 billion reals in 2017, in March 2017, and now we have 1.9. And this increases the interest and charges on debt. And we also have this 4 million referring to a swap operation from 4131 and at the end of the contract that is in July, we should have the net of this value. Slide 9 shows the regulatory net income with a 228% growth. We reached 305 million versus 93 in the first quarter of 17. This is basically due to the RBSC receivables with an impact of 216 million in the first quarter of 18. Also reduction of costs and expenses due to the tax compensation that was previously mentioned. And there was an increase in financial expenses, so the net result is shown on this slide. Slide number 10 So the cash flow. And here, just for clarification, initial cash was the consolidated value, including part of the CTEEP management and also consolidated from all the companies in the group. So here we have 617 million in December 2017, and we finished with 728 million in March 2018. This was helped by the RAP receivables corresponding to 812 million, 490 million from RBSE, and there was also the tax payment of about 294 million, and also the investments that were made. These are commitments that the company already had, and the total commitments were of about 99 million, including 85 for infrastructure and 14 for new investments. Regarding financing activities, settlement of loans of about 53 billion, and the minus 14 represents the variation of the cash, which is not 100% CTEEP. So the cash flow was very positive. Slide number 11 shows a comparison of regulatory and IFRS. And what's striking here is that the regulatory numbers are now higher than the IFRS due to the recognition of the revenue from the RFBE that we have been receiving since July 2017. And while we are still receiving the RBSE, we will see this positive variation in the comparison between regulatory and IFRS with the basic differences related with construction costs and construction revenues, and also the financial assets that account for the great variations that we see between the two financial statements, regulatory and IFRS. And finally, a little bit about our consolidated debt. We have a gross debt of 1.928 billion. If we look at all the consolidated, this leads to 1.201 billion compared with 326 million in December 2017. So the variation is 9.5%. And here I stress the recent debentures that we received with an IPCA of 4.7% until 2025. This was completed in May. This loan was completed in May, and this allows us to make all these investments that we're making very easily, at least until the end of the first half of next year. So these were the main highlights that we had regarding our financial data. And now we would like to open for questions. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now go on to the question and answer session. Should you wish to pose a question, please press star one. To withdraw your question from the queue, press star two. Our first question comes from Mr. Juliano Pires from UBS. Good morning. This is Marcelo Sá, and I have a question on your payout policy. In the release, you mentioned that you are reviewing this policy and will announce it as soon as the board approves it. We would like to know if there will be a decision in terms of the JCP, the general interest rate, or if we will only see this and perhaps receive a percentage on revenue, or if you already have a positioning on the long-term rate JCP in Brazil. Thank you.
I don't know if Reynaldo is still on the line.
As soon as he returns, he can add to this. I'm sorry, I was on mute. Marcelo, good morning once again. Thank you for your question. And if you have looked at the reports, in fact, we have a very pertinent reading on the part of the company. We are beginning to address all of these issues. This is an issue that refers to having a policy or a practice for the payout of dividends. And this will show, of course, that we are going to have growth when it comes to the payout of dividends in the coming years. Well, we have recurrent results, stabilization of the reimbursement from RBSE, and a high cash generation. The company does have accrued profit, and whatever we do not spend at present in the company can be used to deleverage the company. It is, of course, our goal to attain a very mature situation to be able to disclose a policy or a practice for the payout of dividends. And as this is an extremely important issue, we're going to hold a specific call on this once everything has been fully mulled over. But our commitment, of course, is to make strides towards having a practice or a policy still during this year. The JCP topic is an issue, once again, that we cannot anticipate at this point. I would like to clarify that we deem this to be a very important issue. This is the right time to review our practice or policy due to the situation of stability in the company with accrued profit and the RBSE remunerations. And we would like to request your patience. We're very close to coming to a decision, and we will include this in a semestral call. Thank you very much. I do have a second question that refers to the Electrobras project. As part of the rapporteur's vote, they included the possibility that others would adhere to the proposal they're making for Electrobras. The WACC, the weighted average cost of capital that will be received in 8 years. Now, if the privatization process of the Electrobras holding does not advance, could this become a law regardless of the privatization, or is this conditioned to the privatization of Electrobras? Thank you. An excellent question. And the first thing is that it would have to be approved. This is, of course, the substitute of the proposal set forth by House Representative Aleluya. Based on the drafting, it alters one of the articles, and it does not depend on the privatization of capital. This will, of course, lead to a great deal of discussion on this issue. In the reading that we have, the inclusion of this issue will be done through the change of an article, and it will be valid regardless of the privatization. Thank you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to remind you that should you wish to pose a question, please press star one. Once again, should you wish to pose a question, please press star one. Our next question comes from Mr. Milton Souza from Brazil Plural. A good morning to all of you. This is Victor speaking, And as my colleagues do not have many questions, I would like to pose a recurrent question for transmission companies. I would like to understand what Paulista Transmission expects for the auction that will be held in June. There will be 20 and some lots auctioned with 20 million expected. I would like to know if the transmission is interested in participating, how competition will behave, and hear about the company's expectations for the coming months. Vitor, let us put this very clearly. We're analyzing this, and we do intend to participate. Now, how the competition will be, we, of course, hope that it will enable us to participate and obtain the profitability that we require and expect. We have a very clear stance here. We're going to continue to analyze the projects. We have several competitive edges in issues such as a relationship with suppliers, the funding, the competitive costing, the issue of debentures that we have just carried out, engineering on which we have full knowledge, our capacity to analyze risk. All of this we consider to be our competitive edges that will, of course, be introduced along with the suppliers in all of these auctions. However, we need to feel a great deal of comfort that we are going to make a bid that will be in accordance with our requirements and use of capital using our competitive advantages. We are a highly competitive company. It could happen that other companies will have a different risk area, or that we will have to perhaps accept lower profitability. We have to, of course, first of all, think about our internal comfort, and it is based on this that we're going to make bids, and we do believe that we have a great chance because of our competitive edge. I have another doubt that arouses from the first question I made. I would like to know if the bids will be carried out jointly with Taesa, or if you're going to make the bids on your own. Well, the questions seem to be very recurrent at this point. And of course, I'm quite satisfied with this because it shows what we're doing in the company. We're under no obligation whatsoever of partnering with Taesa, although we do have a very good relationship with them. What we have mentioned and would like to reiterate, if you analyze what happened, and that is what we prefer, for the smaller lots, we're going to bid on our own. For the larger lots, we would like to bid jointly with a partner. The auctions we participated in with Taesa are doing very well, and therefore we could do this jointly with Taesa, but nothing has been defined so far, and it could happen that for specific lots, we will partner with other companies, as happened in the last auction where we did partner with another company. In our viewpoint, for small lots, we will work with our own engineering, and there will be no need to look for a partner. When it comes to the larger lots, our preference is to partner with another player, and this other player, preferably from the area of energy transmission, so that we can have a larger lot. Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to remind you that should you wish should you pose a question, please press star one. As there are no further questions, I would like to return the floor to Mr. Reynaldo Bazzanese for his closing remarks. I simply wanted to thank all of you for your presence. It is a pleasure and a satisfaction to be able to share our results with all of you. Once again, thank you very much for your participation and have a good day. The ISA CETEPI conference call ends here. We would like to thank all of you for your participation. Have a good day. Thank you very much.